Yeah, Claudette Howie, good afternoon.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
You don't sacrifice like that for your art, do you?
No, but there might be some of those kinds of sacrifices if you've got kids, and of course I've got kids, and, you know, I can see.
That's a noble calling in itself.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
Yeah, but you've never had insects living behind your eyes. Steve McCabe, hello.
Good afternoon.
Steve and Claudette together on the panel this afternoon. Susan Baldacci here, of course, talking about what the world is talking about. Actually, for the last time for a wee while, because you're off on holes.
I'm off.
Yourself.
I'm off on holidays, and I won't be going to the African safari lands, but going to the United States to see my family for a few weeks. So,
okay.
Yeah.
We'll miss you, bon voyage, etc.
Thank you. Well, it's day two. I think we'll start the countdown, see where you get next week without me. But it's day two of the Julian Assange standoff at the Ecuadorian embassy. As we know, it started yesterday where he's gone in there seeking asylum because he's exhausted all of his possibilities of appeal. And it looks like he will be handed over to Swedish authorities who just want to question him about some accusations of a sexual assault. But of course, he's concerned that the United States is going to take him from Sweden to face face charges related to a release of documents on WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
And at the risk of sounding slightly cynical here, is it purely by coincidence that we've not heard his name in print recently? I mean, the guy's a fantastic self-publicist.
So you think he's doing this as another bout of self-publicity?
Your words, not mine, Jim. Far be it from me to condemn the man as a complete rampant self-publicist.
Martin Dumble actually says on the text, no European country like Sweden, which hasn't had the death penalty for decades, will ever extradite a fugitive to a country where he's likely to face the death penalty. Because this is the claim, isn't it? The Americans are going to put him to death.
But I just don't think they would do that. I don't think they would.
No.
They would want to make him such a martyr to the cause to do that. But anyway, so yes, there he is. He's holed out in the embassy because his problem now is he leaves the embassy, he gets arrested if he doesn't get asylum. But even if they do grant him asylum, somehow he's going to have to get from the Ecuadorian embassy to either an airport or a boat somewhere for the slow boat to Ecuador. He's going to have to figure out a way to escape all the police who are probably camped outside waiting for him to set foot outside where they can grab him.
Yeah, this would make the OJ chase look boring, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The
helicopters as Julian Assange sprints for the port.
So, yeah, he's going to be arrested for violating his curfew as soon as he sets foot outside the embassy. So we'll see what happens.
All right.
So, like I said, the countdown continues.
But definitely not the publicity stunt.
Oh, you know. But it is...
Oh, you're in a jaundiced mood today, I can tell.
It's been a long day, sir.
You know, if there's any irony at all, it's, you know, here he is with all this cloak and dagger and, you know, seeking asylum, and he's Mr., you know, allegedly fighter for freedom and transparency, and he's the one hiding. So, anyway, there is irony to that. Now, here's an interesting story. I mean, this is not something that would work for me, but apparently, according to a study, to optimize creativity, you need to go to a place like a coffee shop where there's a little bit of ambient noise. This was an experiment conducted. They gave a group of people some creative challenges. They had to brainstorm ideas for things like a new type of mattress and come up with lists of things that could be done for common uses for a common object. And they put them in a variety of environments. One, very, very quiet. Another, sort of a little bit of ambient noise, sort of your coffee shop kind of noise. And a third, really loud. And the highest performing, the people who came up with the most creative solutions, were the ones in the coffee shop type place.
Would that work for you as well, do you think? If you wanted to think of something really intently and come up with some good idea, would it work with a bit of noise?
I think the coffee would help.
Yeah, the coffee probably helps.
Yeah, it would help with me. I like to have lots of noise around. I don't know whether it's the noise or whether it's the type of people that's around me, though, and the type of conversation that they're having, you know, because that could be quite a bit of a buzzy thing, you know. I think it's more about that, the type of people and the types of things that they might be talking about gives you a little bit of extra creative spark.
Okay, that's interesting.
I was a library girl. I could not study anywhere but the library.
Oh, you see, I don't like it quiet. I'm like Steve. I'd have to have a certain, but preferably a background kind of hum.
Mm. Well, that's you're with the majority, according to the study.
Well, it makes sense. It's going to give a little bit of low-level stimulation. If it's too quiet, you're going to fall asleep.
Not me.
Yeah, see, I've always worked in really noisy newsrooms, so I can have the television on, the radio on, my computer, and I can, you know, talk and write at the same time.
Are you doing your best work under that kind of cacophony, though, do you reckon?
Some of my best work has come out of that. Some of my best ideas for television programs have come out of that.
All right.
Now, presumably, it has to be a fairly steady level of background noise. No sudden ups and downs.
You know, no great clattering.
Dogs barking and gunfire probably aren't going to do
that. That's probably not good background noise.
No. So South Central Los Angeles probably isn't the ideal place to go for your brainwaves, no?
Yeah. Oh, it depends. It depends on what kind of a journalist or television program maker you are. That could create quite a bit of ideas. You could generate a lot of ideas by going to that area.
All right, you like a gung ho environment, don't you?
I do actually. Okay. I do.
Well, the study is in the Journal of Consumer Research. If you want to look it up and see more about that study.
Thank you. It's interesting.
I'll go find a very quiet place and read it.
Go find a quiet place and read that. Yeah. Now, I don't know if this guy came up with this idea at a coffee shop or where, but talk about creativity. There is a John Key for sale on Trade Me, not the Prime Minister, but a key named John. And according to the ad, it says this is an auction for a brass key. It is due to the global and national economic situation that we're regretfully offering our very own John Key for sale. It's worth, something like $50 trillion, and is therefore on the market before we consider any further asset sales.
Okay.
And Aotearoa is not for sale, it says. And you know what? It's up to $116
already. For this key?
Yes.
A little brass key.
It's just a little brass key.
Nobody had ever thought of it before. A key with John on it.
A key called John.
Okay, $160.
$116. So, okay.
Are you going to consider that money well spent after you end up with the key in a year? I suppose you can show it to your friends for years, can't you?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, whoever came up with this idea, very creative, and is going to get $116 at least for it. So there you go. Now here's another study that I saw today, and a kind of a disturbing one. This is a first of its kind study looking at older women and eating disorders. Now, of course, most of the time when we think about eating disorders, we're thinking about teenagers. Well, as it turns out, 62% of those surveyed, and these were women over the age of 50, report having some sort of negative view of their body and that it has had a negative view on their lives. So what's really concerning is that 13.3% reported having symptoms of eating disorders. These are, ranging from bulimia, anorexia, and that kind of thing. And these are women over the age of 50.
13% have an actual disorder.
Yeah.
Did you say 62% say
62%
that
negative body image.
Negative body image.
You know, I thought one of the privileges of growing older was that you could stop worrying about all that kind of
is
thing.
That
but apparently
linked
not.
To menopause?
Well, it doesn't necessarily, because the range in ages, the average age was 50, but there were some much older women and a little bit younger. But yeah, so I don't necessarily think it was linked to menopause. But
menopause can't be ruled out as one of the impacts on
possibly
on this.
Yeah, I suppose not.
But
along with a lot of other influences as well too. But yeah,
hang on,
that's
the
crucial.
Says the average age 59, Susan.
Oh,
I've just looked and at your own notes. So
right.
That would tend to rule out menopause to a reasonable extent, wouldn't it?
Well, there's a couple of different groups of people in this. Even after the age of 50, they find that women are desperately trying to control their own weight. But in a specific group, the 75 to 84, they were still finding cases of bulimia, where people would eat and then purge themselves.
Even
which is really,
among
really
the
sad.
Elderly.
And the thing that is amazing is that this binge eating... binge eating was found in 3.5% of the older women surveyed. That is the exact same statistic for the younger people
in a survey that was done.
This story is out of USA Today, and the study was done by the University of North Carolina.
So
this
the
is
older
the director
women,
of an eating disorders program.
The older women had the same rate of bulimia as the younger women.
In a certain age group.
In a certain age group
of older women. Yeah.
That is surprising.
I know. It's a worry, really.
Yeah, and it's just so much easier being a fellow. We don't have any of this pressure.
Oh, yeah, none whatsoever. Not one little bit.
I don't know, actually.
I think that there's a growing number of, growing concern amongst men with body image issues now.
Yeah, I think you were being ironic, weren't you? Or were you being serious?
Just covering up my jacket right now.
Ironically serious.
A little bit of both, are you?
I'd like to know what it is in New Zealand. Because, and, you know, I mean, this is just anecdotal, but generally speaking, and I am speaking generally, Māori women tend to eat less as they get older. And, you know, they do things like wake up earlier. And, you know, go to bed earlier, but wake up earlier, start working earlier and eating a lot less. And, of course, that's all unsubstantiated, but, you know, just, you know, observationally.
Yeah, I'm sure different groups have different perceptions.
And that's a bit of an issue and a concern for us because, you know, our kaumātua kuia are quite ailing and, you know, they don't live as long yet, although the age we are catching up. Thanks to good, you know, health system, but generally speaking.
The fact that most people do relax about their body image as they grow older, you'd think most people report feeling more relaxed, puts this into the kind of illness, firmly in the illness territory, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it just shows how prevalent it is, and we can talk forever about the causes, you know, media and so forth, but...
It's quite a frightening statistic.
That's right. Now, speaking of eating, here's a study that... it's not so much a study. This was an editorial in the New York Times. We are just not eating enough dirt, really.
Dirt.
We need to get out there, go to the farmer's market, because there is increasing evidence that the rise in allergies and autoimmune disorders is partly due to the fact that we just aren't eating as many microorganisms as we used to. And when you think about it, we go to the grocery store, and if there's dirt on the potato, we'll buy the washed ones. Nothing wrong with the dirt on the potato, especially, you know, a lot of microorganisms are contained there that we, you know, our ancestors, everyone has eaten and didn't do them any harm. And we're just eliminating that completely from so many diets in the modern world. So
what are they advocating? They're advocating don't take all the dirt off the carrots and the potatoes.
They're not going as far as to say that, but they're just saying don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of that. And, of course, as always... that all the antibiotic hand washes and all that kind of thing, not a good thing.
Yes, you see, I wouldn't mind if I brought my produce straight from a farmer's market, but I do worry when I go to
a really large
chain store and the number of handlers that have. You know, I was asleep last night and thought I didn't wash that cabbage I brought home the other night. You know, even though I put it straight into storage, I thought, oh no, I've got to take those leaves off and wash it. Whereas if I went to a farmer's market, I wouldn't worry so much because I know that it's just had one handler and then me.
Well, as long as you don't get an insect living behind your eyes.
Yeah, that's right. This editorial is saying hug your local farmer and go to your local farmer's markets because that may represent our only connection with some of those microorganisms that we now just get rid of as soon as we get home.
Love dirt.
Love dirt. Dirt is your friend.
Yeah, we become absolutely obsessive with these things. And we look at food and look at sell-by dates and go, oh, no, I can't possibly eat that. We toss it away. The thing is, I mean, we'll often give like scraps and that to the dog at home. Dog's not dying on a daily basis of hideous food-borne illnesses. We wouldn't touch it because, oh, that's not healthy. That's not right.
Dogs are more rugged than we are, I suspect, with their tummies. Though.
But why would that be? It's because we don't baby them from day one. We allow them to build up immune systems that can handle that kind of stuff.
So we could eat two-week-old chicken if we prepared ourselves.
No, that goes to the dog. No.
And go snuffle on the ground.
Let's not go that far. But roll around, you know, have a little bit of dirt. Don't be afraid of it.
Have a lovely few weeks off,
Thank
Susan
you.
Baldacci.
Watch out for those gremlins in Africa behind the, you know, microphone.
Thank you.
And we'll see you back again soon. Steve McCabe and Claudette Hawiti on the panel after 4:00.